Welcome to the Kidding After Show. Jill has a hole inside and she's trying to fill it with red wine and penises. So clearly we have a lot to discuss. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Yes, ma'am.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it now.
Welcome to the Pusillanimous After Show, the best show title I've seen in quite a while.
That's hilarious.
I definitely had to ask Mina for the pronunciation, but welcome you guys. Before we get into it, I want to introduce my wonderful host, and I will ask you guys your favorite pie, because if you watch the episode, their pie seemed to tie in with the theme a little bit. So to my left is Mina.
Hey everyone, I'm Mina, and in the spirit of fall, I love me some pecan pie with vanilla ice cream right on top.
Takira?
You took mine! So I'll say good old sweet potato pie with some cinnamon on top.
And Raquel?
AKA
yeah. Rocky.
Yes, I actually don't like pie.
Okay.
So, yes, I love the differing opinion.
Right. So what do you put in place of pie?
Cookies okay. And brownies are my favorite dessert.
Oh, I love
good choice. I'm Steph, and I think I have to go with a nice berry pie. I love the berry crumble pie. A la mode, of course.
Okay.
So this episode, we were saying it was interesting. I feel like there wasn't as many plot points, but a lot of background and kind of loose ends being tied. So we'll be covering What's Your Vice and the Pickles dealing with their own personal vices. The puppet show with Jeff and Seb, and the piano class featuring Deidre and her falling apart marriage. But before we get in, we'll have a special segment by Mina. She will take over it, where we have a Jim Carrey gem, and we will be focusing on Liar Liar today, and then we'll wrap it up with some predictions. So before we get started, what was your guys' overall opinions?
Yeah, you know, I came at it with the first episode being, like, so strong, where I was like, this is the best show ever, I'm so excited, it's so good. And then this show didn't capture my interest in the same way, but I still feel like it was necessary just to move the plot forward so that we could have a little bit of answers when it... We didn't really get that many answers, but we explored the things that were problems in the previous episode. Yeah, so it was necessary. It just wasn't my favorite. It wasn't as funny as last week's. I didn't see enough of my favorite character, the Mr. Pickles' son, and I needed more of that. But yeah, it was more on the drama side than it was on the dark comedy side, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. I ditto that. I loved episode one. Two, I was telling Steph off camera, like, I feel like I'm going to absolutely fall in love with episode three. But kind of the same, ends got tied, and then we learned a little bit more, but same.
Yeah. I loved the direction in this show. Oh my gosh, the scene where Jim Carrey or Mr. Pickles is following, I forget her name, but his ex-wife in the house.
Yes.
That scene was so well done when he was going back and forth and we're following, and it was just such a clear view of, like, seeing him really check her out the entire time and how obsessed he was.
Yeah.
So I love the direction in this, and also to the scene where it really makes you think about how creative child shows were, because the scene where they're transitioning to going to the Pickleberry Farm and we see Jim go for like it was crazy, because when you think about Mr. Rogers and how, like, if he was traveling to a different part of Mr. Rogers' world, like, they turned it into paper mache instead of having to use whatever, like, live action to transition from him going from his home to Pickleberry Farm. Like, and that alone was like, oh my gosh, I never really thought about how creative child shows are.
I love how you said that.
Nostalgia.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
I was reading an article today. It was from Variety, I believe, and Dave Holstein, the creator, actually was talking about the set building, and the writers and crew built Mr. Pickles puppet time from the ground up as if it was a real TV show, like fully implemented whatever it was. And they actually, when they were writing the show, were looking for people who have written on children's shows, and they got I believe the Joey Mazzarino, the 23-time Emmy-winning Sesame Street head writer.
Oh my
god! Wow.
So that's why I think we see a lot of the
elements.
Realistic. Yeah. So it's really cool. I love what you're saying. The direction. I feel like we see that palpability of the realness of it. So,
It kind of makes you. want to look back on all of your kids' shows and realize what it is that they were really trying to say versus what they were trying, like what they were saying.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're looking for that message, that hidden message that you didn't catch as a kid.
Yeah.
Does it ruin the magic at all, though, when you know how it's made?
No.
That's what I think
She's
about.
Saying the message.
I will still just watch wrestling to this day, though I know it's fake. And Jerry Springer, I will still watch it as if it's as if it's real, even though those aren't kids' shows.
Hilarious.
I think it's just the element of just making you believe. And I think that's the beautiful thing about kids shows is that while you're catering to an audience that seems simple, it's very complex.
Definitely.
So I loved this episode for that reason. I thought the direction and writing was very, very well done.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that leads perfectly into, I think, Jim Carrey's portrayal in this particular episode, because we start the episode with him getting his car taken, but once they find out it is Mr. Pickle's car, they put it all back together, it's based off a real thing that happened to Mr. Rogers.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
way. It's really cool that they did that, but it shows you how loved he is outside, but he's clearly thinks his biggest vice is only drinking chocolate syrup off the bottle. But like Rocky said, he's creeping his wife. So what do you guys think about the way he's dealing with loss? It seems unhealthy to me. I'm curious what you guys think, Mina.
I still don't think he's dealing with loss in the worst way possible. Honestly, like I said in last week's episode, I feel like at least he's trying to use the platform he has to shed light on issues like death and change. Specifically in this, like, episode, he talks a lot about change, and he kind of, like, talks about how his hair is different, and he tries to spin it in a way where, like, people, like, kids need to understand that change isn't necessarily bad, change can be good, and that's another great topic, because a lot of people are afraid of change. We like stability, we like what we're used to, and having, like, something completely new thrown in front of our faces, sometimes we don't know how to deal with it, and what better way to learn how to deal with something like that than having a children's host talk about it on a show that can influence so many people.
Yeah.
Not just children, but the parents watching the show with the children.
Wow. I am completely opposite. Yeah. That's so interesting.
Controversy.
That's so interesting to hear, like, your point on that, because to me, he is, like, far from handling this the proper way.
Retweet.
Like, to me, he is, like, he's keeping everything bottled in. I mean, like he said in the show, or a couple of people have said in the show, if you keep it in, eventually it's going to come out. Even Jill, his dad, Seb, like, everybody's like, Jeff is a ticking time bomb. And it's just, like, it's any given moment he's going to be. I mean, his dad called him, he said that you look like you're about to climb to the top of a Texas building and shoot people, like, whenever he shaved his head. Like, I feel like there's so many, he's trying to use his platform, which is an amazing thing, but he's being held back by so many people.
Yeah.
And that feeling of wanting to express yourself and not being able to drives you literally insane. And so I feel like he is definitely not handling this the best way and creeping on your wife. Like, that scene was, he was pretending like they were still together.
Yeah.
Like, he was cooking while she's cooking. And
he
has, like, in this mind, like, oh, honey, excuse me. Like, let me just grab the butter. Like, he was just in this. Like, he was literally engulfing himself in
a world that doesn't
exist. A pretend world.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I love his heart is big, but he is struggling showing how he feels, and love him to death. He's a ticking time bomb.
I agree with that. I do think he's a ticking time bomb, but I don't think that means he's not handling it well. I think he's handling it the way most people, lot of people would, and at least he's using his platform.
We'll talk about that in the next section. I really am curious on your opinion with the show, but
I retweet everything, and I think # nervous breakdown. He's having a nervous breakdown, and it's just slowly but surely, like you said, it's gonna explode eventually. And I mean, I don't know. I think while he's handling it in the only way that he knows how, again, like I said last episode, no one knows how to deal with losing your child. Nobody, like, loss period is just difficult.
Yeah.
But I think he's handling it in the best way that he can. But I don't think it's the healthiest. So the same with her getting a tattoo. I don't know if that was the right way to go.
Right,
but if that works for you, if it works for you, then, you know, do what you got to do. I think therapy needs to be the next in the equation.
For sure. And talk.
Yeah.
Talk.
I don't like how Jill's treating Mr. Pickles.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I thought the most interesting quote of their dynamic was when Deirdre was talking to him and he said, I don't know how to love from a distance.
Yeah.
And that's really conflicting because obviously everyone can relate to that. It's hard, but it's also really an unhealthy behavior to be that suffocating. But I'm curious what you guys think of, we have Justin Kirk as Peter. And it seems like Jeff is using Peter as a way to have more of a power dynamic in the family. What's your opinion on Peter and the way Jeff is dealing with him?
I don't like him at all.
You don't like Peter?
No, I don't. I just feel like he's just around. I think he's just that guy that's just around to make her feel good at the moment. I don't see him as anything that's going to stay in place for a long time.
I was about to say, he's connecting very well with Will, so what do you think about that?
I think that Will is going towards anything that is normal right now. I think that his father's not stable, so he's going to go to whatever male figure is stable at the moment, and right now, that person for him to look forward to is Peter. But I think that he's going to come back around. I think that Jim is literally just, he's not okay. And I think I'm sorry, Jim, Jeff. Jeff is not in the right state of mind, and I think everyone knows that except for Jeff. And so he's forcing himself into a world that's not existing because he doesn't know how to deal with the fact that it's just you're going to have to get over it. Your family's not going to be the same dynamic as it once was, and that's okay. And I don't think he's gotten that in his mind yet.
Change. That's why he needs to talk about it on his show. I feel like he tries to use his show not just as a platform to help his viewers, but it's a way for him to have therapy for himself.
Yeah.
But I thought it was super interesting that this new character, Peter, could elicit a totally different response out of Mr. Pickles that we've never seen before.
Yes.
The fact that there's finally one person that he can't keep his cool around, that he acts passive aggressive towards, where he's playing this game more for his entertainment than for everyone else's. Mm-hmm. It's more just for him to kind of, in a very condescending way, psychoanalyze him and see what his issues are with his parents or with his childhood to see why he is the way he is. I just thought it was so interesting because up until, you know, this episode, we just saw Mr. Pickles as, like, this not one-dimensional character, but, like, as this, like, wholesome Mr. Rogers-type character. You could never imagine Mr. Rogers doing something like that, but here we see Mr. Pickles doing that, so I thought it was really interesting that they kind of showed that dynamic.
Yeah, I love how he was, like, Peter, pumpkin eater, and said the whole play, the whole line, and it was really... It's such smart writing. What I loved about this episode was the writing. I feel like it was really tight. And the fact that he's using a kid's kind of song. And in this sense, it was super screwed up. Like, and it like shows realness to it. And it's the different side of childhood stories that a lot of them are more nightmare.
Yeah. They're actually more grotesque than what we... Like the Grimm Brothers stories, like about Cinderella. Like the only reason that she actually fit... Or her sisters, stepsisters fit into the shoes because they cut their big toe off. So, like, if you read the real stories of these child stories, like, I mean, like, Peter Piper. Jeez. Yeah, like, it's...
Like, it's, John like that Jeff mentioned in the episode.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, John.
It's crazy. But to go to how people are mourning, I also wanted to nitpick about the grandpa and how he's dealing with it, because I like how they briefly mentioned that he did go visit Phil's grave because he got bee stings.
Yeah,
so I thought that was interesting, too, because it was like, oh, everyone's visiting the grave at their own time to have their own moment. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was beautiful, too.
But he never wanted to say where he was. I thought that was a little strange. Like, he's somewhat dealing with grief in a difficult way, too.
That's definitely why I put Jeff and Seb as a whole different topic. Because their dynamic, I think, is the second most important. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, Mina has an announcement for us.
Yeah, I mean, we know how much you guys love the show Kidding. And I'm sure that there are a lot of other shows here at AfterBuzz you'll love as well. So, as you might already know, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no other network that works harder to serve TV fans. But we need your help, guys. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're totally optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. We'll do a little dance for you, like Steph over here. For now, thanks for being the best fans ever and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes.
I cannot with this.
This lighting? We're in the club now.
Shout out to that.
Fade in. Thank you, Jim.
We're getting ready to talk about the Puppet Time show, obviously. We're getting the lighting ready. So, Jeff and Seb, Rocky, you had a really interesting point. I'm curious what you guys all think. Let's talk about Seb first and how he's dealing with grief, because he is the patriarch of the family, and I think he is taking it in silence. Do you have any more opinions on that?
Yeah, I think everyone, again, they're dealing with it the way that they have to, the way that they know how, and I think that it was interesting that it was very silent the way that they put it in the show. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we don't really need to directly tell you that he's visiting Phil, but we know because he's gotten bee stings, and we obviously know how the bees got there. So I think it's interesting that they really... The way that they put in elements for you to really pay attention to is something that I love about shows and films, because sometimes I feel like it can be very easy for you to watch something and get it automatically. But when you can go back and watch and say, oh my gosh, I didn't pick that up at first.
Yeah.
That's what's really cool. So I love that about this show. Many awards, I feel like Emmys.
Great point.
I agree. I feel like they have to come at it from so many different angles, because we're so used to seeing shows that are so cookie cutter. Like, I feel like that's why in episode one we had to see him use the word like death, and had to see homosexuality be such a big part in episode one. Like, we have to see these major things, because these major topics come up in real life, and if we don't see it on TV, we're not going to relate, and it's not going to be something that we can connect to, and then what's the point? So we have enough cookie cutter shows, and I think Seb is the epitome of the stereotype that men can't show feeling, or that they have to be strong. I mean, Seb said, quote, "We are strong men. We keep the struggle inside." And so he is that epitome and that story that men can't cry and men can't show affection. So I think especially maybe it has something to do with his age and his generation, especially people in his generation are taught that they have to be strong. So I think that's the avenue that maybe we're supposed to get from Seb. And then obviously it trickles on down to Will, who's just like the millennial generation. It's like, F it, I'm putting bees in the grave. Yeah. Like, I'm smoking weed and calling my dad a pussy.
I know.
Like,
can we talk about that?
I'm just like, geez. Yeah.
So, oh my gosh. I totally agree. But that, when I saw that part though, I was like, Will, what's going on?
Yeah, poor
like,
thing.
Like, not that young. Like, I mean, that does happen, but I don't know. I just feel like your brain, just let's develop your brain a little bit more.
He's very young.
But, you know.
I feel like kids always talk like that nowadays. I feel like kids are so mature now, and they know everything because of YouTube. Like, the fact that they can watch this show on YouTube if they wanted to, the first episode at least.
Not my
kids. Can you imagine, like, as a kid, having all of that knowledge at your fingertips?
And that's the problem, though. But that's the issue. Mm-hmm. I feel like our kids aren't sheltered enough anymore, because they do have, information at the palms of their hands. Mm-hmm, and that's very dangerous. And that's why suicide rate has gone up so far, because when you're seeing so much content, like, right then and there, that's why we talked about last week, too. Cartoons used to be super slow, because that's how your brain understands and processes information at a young age. Now, like, for instance, when they did studies with SpongeBob, they said the kids that watch SpongeBob regularly have a lower IQ versus people who still watch Looney Tunes. Yeah, and I love SpongeBob.
Me too.
But that was our generation.
Yikes.
And that's unfortunate. Now it's like all these really fast-paced cartoons versus Doug, Rugrats, that were really, really slow and helped you understand. And now you have so many things that they're throwing at you in cartoons. It's like there's so much information all at once. And I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, depression, anxiety has risen based off of just social media alone.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
On the topic of topics that we show in to kids and bring in shows, I thought a really interesting point was that they have the topic of gender fluidity, and it was done in a really funny way. I was actually I thought that was the funniest show with Astronauter.
Astronauter.
Yeah. Loved it. And Mr. Pickles is declaring that he is now a she, and that's just the way it is. And I think it's a really important topic to bring into shows.
Yes.
But I am curious your opinion. Do you think this is the powerful time to do it, or is it more Mr. Pickles trying to defy his father?
You know, I think you know, it's one of those things where when it comes to negotiation, people think that if they ask for more and if they, like, highball, that at least they'll get one of the things they want. So I don't think it's the worst strategy ever. I think if you throw, like, every little thing, then you'll get, like, one of those requests granted. It's not the best way to negotiate. I feel like you should be a little bit more careful with what you bring up. But because it's family, it's a little bit more difficult to negotiate because you feel like you can say whatever you want. Like, there's nothing he's really scared of. At the end of the day, who else can replace Mr. Pickles? No one really can. So he has a lot of power in that alone. And I think part of him realizes it, even though he still struggles with, like, wanting to conform to what his dad wants and then wanting to do what he wants to do. But, yeah, I don't... I like that they brought up the whole concept of gender fluidity. I think that it really mirrors what's going on with the times right now. And to do it with an animal, especially, helps illustrate the concept in a way that makes more sense to kids than, like, just surprising them with, like, a human being and having parents get really upset. Yeah. Just, like, easier to conceptualize, I feel like.
I would say, yes, I think that it is, in today's society, in today's climate, I think that it's important to talk about. But I have to say I disagree with him doing it this way just because I need Jeff to check his intentions at the door. Anytime that you do something and you don't have the true intention behind it, I feel like you said, it might just be a little jab to play with his power of, hey, this is my show and I'm just going to continue to do things like this until you give me what I want. He didn't have the right intention, so I need him to check that piece and do it at the right way. So I didn't agree.
I like where his heart was at with it. I just think it was very randomly placed. Like, I didn't think that did he really mean it to be in that moment? Like, I mean, unless he did, I like that they're conquering all of that on the show, but I think that that's also something that should maybe be left up to parents to teach their children also, too. Like, and I think that's why Deirdre's going through her battle with whether or not she should address her husband being gay. So, I mean, I think that his heart was in the right place, and I think that he cares about that subject, but I don't think that he thought about it. And I think also, too, when you're producing a show, I feel like you should let all of your writers and producers know that you're going to introduce something so we can all be on the same accord. I don't think you should just, you know, unless he felt like we had a meeting, you guys weren't with it, and I wanted to go for it, then but
That's true.
Yeah, I just don't think that you should do that because there could be a lot of liability issues, not necessarily with that topic in per se, but at the same time, you just don't know how that could carry. And again, someone could go write a letter and say, I don't like how you guys did that. And then now everyone's kind of confused, like, well, we didn't know that he was going to do it either.
Yeah, so it's a team effort.
Yeah.
Still stand strong on what you believe, though,
right,
for sure.
Right.
I also think it's important to note that the pushback with that whole idea, I don't think had anything to do with gender fluidity. I think at the end of the day, what people fail to realize is that a show is a show, and it's a business at the end of the day. So it has to do with money. It has to do with dollars behind something. And they were arguing that if they were to change it to from a male otter to a female otter, then they're going to lose a huge core demographic when it comes to purchasing the toys and everything that comes from the show, like all of the merchandise, which is like a huge aspect of any TV show, the merchandise that comes with it, the brand that it represents. And I mean, I feel like we've seen this again and again in like in what's going on with the world, like even with famous authors like J.K. Rowling, who had to change their name to J.K. Rowling from Joanne Rowling just because her publicist said, you know, little boys are not going to read a children's book from a female author. You have to make your name
unisex, or
a little bit more ambiguous when it comes to gender. So I think at the end of the day, the financial aspect has like an overwhelming effect on what's greenlit and what's not greenlit when it comes to producing a show.
Yeah,
I think I've always stood strong that if you have true intentions and if you have a true message that means a lot to people, the money will fall into place.
Yeah,
it's almost like when if you build it, they will come. Like, I know that that's such a big part, but it's almost like a stigma that we have to break that you'll only get paid if you go this route. I think more people need to see, I mean, in our climate right now, Nike, of course, I know you guys mentioned it before.
I was literally just thinking that.
Yeah, like you almost have to force people to realize it doesn't matter. If you stand strong on what you believe, God will protect you. And that's just me. You can look at it a different way. But to me, that's the foundation. Like, don't worry about what others think, because you're doing the right thing. You'll always be protected.
100%.
And Nike doubled in numbers.
Yeah. They lost a core audience, but what people don't realize is they gained a completely new audience of people who weren't buying Nike shoes before because they supported the message. So I think that's a great point.
Well, that was a perfect statement, Takira. Thank you. And I totally agree with you guys on those. But if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure to hit that like button, comment after the video is over so we can keep the conversation going. And if you're listening on iTunes, hit that 5 stars and also leave us a comment and a review there so we can talk to you on iTunes. But let's get into our special segment with Mina. She picked this clip from Liar Liar, a Jim Carrey gem.
Yes, this is taking it way back to the 90s. I feel like this is one of those memes where it's like only 90 kids will understand. But seriously, this is a gem for sure. So let's play the clip. And
pardon me for interrupting the meeting.
You guys know the background of this clip, though, right? Everyone's seen Liar Liar here? Okay, good.
Yes, nice to
he can't lie. Picture. That's the concept.
By the way, I'll be observing you in court.
This was one of my favorite Jim Carrey movies, actually, because I feel like it was so funny at that time.
Fletcher's just been telling me how much he thinks of you.
So basically, he cannot hold back at all. Because,
I love what he says.
What do you think of him?
I feel like it's like Tourette's in a way. Let's go. The best cure for anything.
He's a pedantic, pontificating, pretentious bastard. A belligerent old fart. A worthless, steaming pile of cow dung. Figuratively speaking.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for playing that clip.
That was the perfect ending.
We all wish we could have a moment like that.
Yes. Yeah, we all do. I thought he was going to use the word pusillanimous in this clip.
Yes, pusillanimous.
I guess not.
But before we do get into predictions, the title actually, I was telling Mina, did kind of piss me off because pusillanimous, and then they show the definition, but it's actually pussy. But there's a big debate on this word, actually. A lot of people think it came from pusillanimous, which means like weak or like they just don't have
lacking courage,
determination. And then some people think it came from pocket hole or something like pocket pouch, which would make a little more sense, I guess. But it's interesting that the show deliberately chose to say pussy at the same time as pusillanimous as the episode title because. Mm. My issue is because the pussy is the strongest thing on earth, you guys. It is not weak. You should watch Trevor Noah's stand-up from the 2016 Comedy Festival. He does a great job of summing up how strong the pussy is. It should never be taken as weak, and that is my note on that.
And Betty White said that, too.
Betty White.
I retweet on Betty White.
Yeah, every day.
But I guess we have to start wrapping up, but let's get into some quick predictions.
Yeah.
After Buzz TV predictions.
Rocky?
I know. I don't have... I'm terrible at predictions.
You want me to... Do you want me to say?
Go ahead. Okay.
Because I know you're like, I always got it.
I know.
I think, real quick, Will break. Because we saw on the show that... the answering machine, if you'll realize, like, Will's voice is really upbeat and peppy. Phil was the one that was a little Debbie Downer. Mm-hmm. Or... Dustin Dabber, I don't know what the male perspective is on that. But then we see that Jeff also says, you know, Will is turning into Phil. So I think Will will break. And I think that there's going to be a girl that comes into Jeff's life and takes him down a different road.
Mina?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel like you were covering, like, everything I saw on the teaser. So, yeah, I'm pretty much on board with everything you're saying. But what do I want to see in the next episode? I really want to see Jim Carrey's character get, like, one win when it comes to something he wants out of the show.
I agree.
Like, one thing that he can really push the boundaries with when it comes to children's television. That's all I want to see. And I want to see how it's received by audiences everywhere. That's all I want.
I hope that happens for you. Right. Like, so much. I definitely think there'll be a girl in the picture. I think that he's going to have to face his demons one way or another, because he seems to think he's the only one without a vice. And I think that Deirdre is going to have to please confront your man.
Okay.
And then, like Robbie was saying, send him those divorce papers.
Email. You have to IM message, do whatever you need to do, but it needs to be done.
I don't think it needs to be done when she confronted her man's man, who's probably going to confront the man, and then man is going to confront her. I feel like it's a weird
game of telephone.
We'll have
to see next week. That's all the time we have for now, but we will see you guys next week, same time, Monday. And I'm Steph Sabra. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
Hey everyone, I'm Mina Wahab. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mina Makes Magic.
Yes, yes, and I am Takira Shabre. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Takira_Shabre.
And my name is Rocky Harris. You can find me on all social media at Raquel Harris TV. And quick news and gossip, Jim Carrey will be playing Mr. Robotnik, which is the arch villain of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, yes!
So he's taking his character to another character, and it's just gonna... We're getting our 90s people, 80s back. Yes. It's amazing. So, yeah.
Thank you, Rocky.
Come out of that hiatus.
Yes, I know, right? But it's going to be live action, so we'll get to see more of Jim being Jim.
Yes, perfect. Yeah. Well, we have something to look forward to other than next week's episode, but we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.